Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
See, everybody goes to clapping, and if somebody fell over dead and I said, how many of you believe God can raise him from the dead? You know where I'd lose 90% of you? I'd say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for him. And all of a sudden, man, here you are clapping it. Oh, I believe it happens. And you'll believe that if I pray for him, oh, you're excited. You want to get up here and see it. But I say, you come up here. You pray for him. And all of a sudden, your excitement turns to fear. Your enthusiasm turns to reservation. Like, oh, no. What's the difference? You don't doubt God has the power. You know what you're doing? You don't feel worthy. You don't think that you have done enough. You have this conscience that, well, I'm a sinner. I haven't studied the word. Oh, I knew I should have prayed more. I knew I should have been doing this. And your own conscience condemns you. You lack faith, not in God's ability, but in his willingness, because you believe that God has to deal with every sin individually. I'm going to show you this morning that God forgave all of your sins, past, present, and even future sins. Sins that you haven't even committed yet have all been forgiven. They're already dealt with. God is not holding back and dealing with you according to your sin. Now, that's nearly too good to be true. And that is directly opposite of what religion teaches today. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, and I want to share some verses with you out of this. I wished I had time to just teach on the whole book of Hebrews. This is one of the most powerful books in the Bible. The whole thing is given to show that Jesus and the covenant that Jesus put into effect is superior to the Old Testament law. They are not compatible. The Old Testament law, I read some of these verses yesterday in Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 18, it says, there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better covenant did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Man, the Old Testament law has been totally abolished. It is obliterated. The old covenant has changed. We now have a new covenant, and it all centers around this issue of forgiveness of sins. In the Old Testament, people's sins were not truly forgiven. They were covered. It was like paying for something on credit. In a sense, Jesus hadn't died for the sins of the whole world. And so people were born again. They weren't born again in the Old Testament, but they were saved. They were in relationship with God by looking forward to the atonement that was coming for their sin. And every time they sinned, they had to make an atonement. And it's going to say some of these things in more detail in Hebrews chapter 9, but it says that the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sins. Nobody was ever forgiven and cleansed through the Old Testament sacrifices. They were only types and shadows and pictures. And what it was picturing is that the soul that sins, it shall die. Every time you sin, there has to be death. And rather than you die physically, the Lord gave an animal that you killed it and shed its blood to atone for your sin. But again, it was only a type and shadow. It didn't really work. It was just illustrating that there has to be bloodshed. And through the grace of God, instead of you shedding your blood, God was going to give a sacrifice. There was coming a lamb that would pay for the sins of the whole world. So the Old Testament sacrifices were symbolic, pointing forward to what would take place. And since they were symbolic, then the symbolism had to just continually be offered over and over and over, because you never were really cleansed. You were just trusting that there was going to be a salvation, and it kept you in a constant state of waiting on that. But now Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, is what John said. He paid for our sins, and our sins are paid for, and now it's not necessary to go back and every time you sin, get your sins back under the blood and the blood reapplied. The one offering of Jesus totally cleansed you from all sin, the past sin, the present sin, and even sin that you haven't been committed yet has already been forgiven. And I know some of you have a million questions right now about it. So you're just saying that I can sin? No. Keep listening. Here in Hebrews chapter 9, man, I wish I had time to. The whole book is just powerful, showing that there's a new way, a brand new way of entering into God, a brand new way of relating, and it all centers around that now you don't have to be sin conscious. You don't have to go and every time you sin, offer a sacrifice or get it confessed and under the blood. Those are radical statements. And I'm just breaking into the middle of what he's saying here, but in verse 11, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Do you remember the verses in Colossians 1:14, Ephesians 1:7, that we have now received redemption, that is the forgiveness, or remission, that is the forgiveness of our sins? This is talking about the forgiveness of your sins. It was accomplished once, one time. Jesus forgave all sin. Jesus does not atone for your sin over and over and over and over. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, we'll be getting to these verses in a minute, but it says that Jesus now is seated at the Father's right hand, implying that his atonement has been made. He is not constantly reapplying the blood. See, this is a tradition of man that makes the word of none effect, that you got to get the blood reapplied. You got to get that sin under the blood. When you got born again, the blood covered all of your sins so that you obtained eternal redemption, not momentary redemption. Not redemption till the next time you sin. And then, depending on whether or not you got it confessed, it's going to be under the blood. And if it isn't under the blood, and if you died, you'd go to hell because you had an unconfessed sin. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Y'all are looking at me like, who would ever believe that? Probably half the people in this auditorium. This is what's taught. This says you obtained eternal redemption by one offering. Basically, religion is teaching that no, Jesus isn't seated at the Father's right hand. He is there, and every time a person sins and then confesses it, he's reapplying the blood and getting that sin under the blood, and he's constantly sitting there doing all of these things. You know, if that was true, if you just took the people in this room and took all of the sins, some of you right now, the thoughts you're thinking towards me are sin. Some of the nasty things you're thinking about me is sin right now. And if the Lord just took every sin that is committed by the people in this room, there would be no rest. 24 hours a day, he would constantly be having to reapply his blood and get that sin under the blood. And if you take all of the believers around the world, millions and millions of people that are constantly, oh God, I blew it again, oh God, there would be no such thing as Jesus seated at the Father's right hand. This is saying by one offering, one time Jesus died for sins and he dealt with all sin. Somebody says, how could God forgive a sin before you commit it? Well, you better hope that he can, because he only died for sins one time 2,000 years ago before you ever committed any. If God can't forgive sins before you commit them, then you can't be forgiven, because he is not still forgiving sins. He did it one time through the one sacrifice of Jesus. He dealt with all of the sins of the human race, and sin has been paid for. Sin is not the issue with God. Praise God. That will get me kicked out of 90-something percent of all churches in the United States. Because I guarantee you, sin is the issue. It's all about sin. You got to overcome this. You got to do this, this, and this. And if you don't do this, God won't bless you. God won't use you. God won't answer your prayers. This is how ministers basically manipulate and control their people. If you don't pay your tithes, God's going to curse you. God's going to come against you. He's going to take it out in doctor bills. And man, people shell out. People that don't even love God shell out. It's hush money. It's not God the Father. It's more like the Godfather. Amen. God, I'll pay you this 10% if you'll just stay off my case this week. Don't get me. God, see my 10%? I paid my hush money. That's not the right motive for giving. This says that by one offering he has obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. That is nearly too good to be true. In verse 13, it says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more?" Boy, there's so much in those verses. I hate to mention it because I'll stay here, but that is powerful. The Old Testament law sanctified your flesh, not your spirit. It couldn't purify your heart. It just was a way of dealing with the defilement that sin brought into your body, and it helped get Satan off of your back. It cleansed your flesh, but it couldn't purify your heart. In the New Testament, it's not just our flesh that's being cleansed. It's our heart that has been cleansed and sanctified. So how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, the reason most people, like I was giving that illustration, you would shout and praise God, "I believe God raises the dead," but I say, "You come down here and do it." It's your conscience that condemns you because you know that you haven't done everything right.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK160 titled God's View of Sin when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to go visit our website. And I tell you, we have one of the most powerful websites of anything I've ever seen. I get comments about how user-friendly it is. I have hundreds of my teaching available for free downloads. And there's literally been people's lives saved by having all of this teaching material available to them free of charge. We have our living commentary there. I have about, I think it's 8 years or more of our television programs that you can view right there on the website. We have about 10 or 11 years worth of my radio programs there. It's just a wealth of information, so please join us at awmi.net.